Hey, Marvel Maniacs, welcome to another exciting episode of Guardians of the MCU. This is episode number 213. We're recording this on December 28th. We just went back in time. There's a time machine thing, time paradox. I used the time stone. It was kind of cool, but I came right back. It was almost instantaneous, almost.
Tim, when you mess with time, see, I caught myself that time.
Well done.
Messes back.
That's right.
True. You're welcome.
Guardians of the MCU is part of the Random Chatter Network. Please do check us out at randomchatter.com for information on all of our shows, membership through Patreon, access to the Escape Hatch Discord channel, and show merchandise from TeePublic. So this episode, this is not a profile episode. This is not a movie review episode. This is a discussion episode. We're going to throw some things out there. I'm going to throw some things at our hosts, John and Sheba, by the way, folks, if you haven't met them, John, everybody, John, Sheba, everybody, Sheba. Glad you're all acquainted now. Say hi.
Hey, we're all friends. Hi, friends of the internet.
Hi, everyone.
I'm waiting for the listeners to say hi.
Everyone.
I'm giving adequate time.
Well, everyone needs to meet Tim too.
Yeah.
Tim, you never introduce yourself.
No, I never do. I don't have to. I'm not the important one here.
You are just as important.
I facilitate discussion. You guys bring the discussion. I facilitate it. I don't see my role here as being, too horribly important. All right. So the first of our discussion questions, this is going to be a hard one, I think. And you can't answer all of them. Okay. You have to actually pick one. I'm making you pick one.
Okay.
What is your favorite MCU Disney Plus series and why? I'm probably going to have to edit out dead air.
No. WandaVision.
Well, okay. I was going to let, I have a ladies first policy, even though Lizzie always hated that. But
I just jump right in. I'm like, well, it's me first, right?
All right. So Sheba, you say WandaVision. Why?
I think, obviously
on its own merits, but also as compared to the other Disney Plus MCU series. And we are counting What If, just for everyone's knowledge.
One big thing is that the hype around WandaVision, I felt, because it was the first Disney Plus show, it was the first real show after everything being delayed in 2020. So it was, I think that on top of everything else, and on top of it being a great show, it had all of that extra hype behind it. Everybody was discussing it. Everybody was like, oh, who's this? What's this? That kind of thing. What do you think happened? We were talking about it all the time. Mm-hmm. That was one reason. Another reason was I really enjoyed the whole premise behind it, the whole thing about grief and, grief is, perseverance, that kind of thing. Like, it was just, there were a lot of quotable moments. There were the songs were catchy. The music was interesting. The effects were pretty cool. Like everything that went along with it, I felt made it a better show. So it was one of the top ones for me. After that, obviously I found Loki was pretty close as well in terms of my first and second. But WandaVision just had something extra there. And it could just be because it was the first thing that came out in 2020. I was talking a lot about it with other people. We were, sending out our theories, talking about our theories and what could happen, who we could be. So I thought that's, again, among everything else, that was another reason why I really enjoyed it the most.
Okay. Very good. John, now that you've had time to think about it.
Well, see, and I don't want to pile on. I would also say WandaVision, for a lot of the same reasons Sheba said, and I had probably the least expectations for it, and was really, really impressed with how they put it all together and did it. I'll say after that, Falcon and the Winter Soldier, and that's because that was the one I was most looking forward to. Buddy cop, love both actors in it. knowing that we're going to see him grow into Captain America. I mean, we knew we were going to see Wanda grow into the Scarlet Witch. You know, but again, with a lot of good twists and turns throughout it. So because Sheba stole mine, I gave my runner up. And that's it. I've probably stolen yours. So next time, go first.
You actually haven't. So I'm going to go with Loki.
Okay.
I loved, for as much as I love the storytelling of WandaVision, and I thought it was absolutely brilliant doing the different genres of TV and the themes and all that. And I thought that was just awesome. For Loki, I really love the storytelling with Loki. I loved where it ended up. I thought the cast was fantastic. And also for me, because I mean, just kind of looking a big picture, I guess, is that it has what I think is the greatest impact on the rest of the MCU.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, definitely. That's why it's my second.
Yeah. You know, the others tell really great stories about the characters that are there. Mm-hmm. And you know, yeah, certainly people can argue that all of them did set up other things, but I think that there is so much of a story yet to be done with Kang. And not just Kang, but also basically the cracking of the multiverse. You know, that's really leading us to a lot of places. And whether what happened in What If is a result of Loki or not, it still introduced the whole premise of it. And I think that's just, you know, that's going to have a lot of staying power behind it. You know, and maybe there's a lot of recency bias, but I really, really loved Hawkeye, and it was tough to not pick Hawkeye because I love the story in it. And actually, I'm going to take a little moment to talk about Hawkeye because I'm not on MCU TV, so I didn't get to. I just kind of, in summary of the whole series, I loved the series. I thought that what it did was fantastic. I thought that the characters that it introduced were great. I mean, we have so many characters from that series to look forward to more content from. And it was probably the most relatable because it was such a grounded series. These are not super powered characters. Yeah. You know, and even though the stories are fantastic, it's a lot more just relatable, I guess. So
sure.
That's what I'm going to go with that. Yeah. So our second item on here is kind of interesting. This actually comes from a newspaper article that was written. This is from Deseret News. And Deseret News is out of Utah. They're actually, they've been around for a long time, like well over 100 years. And amazingly, I actually get a fair amount of MCU stuff from them because they have a great entertainment section and they write a lot. And it happens to come up in my feed a lot. So the author here of this particular article is Herb Scribner, and absolutely not throwing any shade toward Herb because while I disagree with his perspective in the article, it's very, very thought provoking. And I think it's a very valid perspective. So I'm going to introduce this for you guys and for our listeners, and then I'll throw it to you guys to kind of discuss. And I want to get your thoughts on it. So the author said that Marvel has a villain problem, and fundamentally he's looking especially at really all of the Disney Plus MCU shows. Kind of picking Hawkeye out. And I guess there's a little bit of spoilers here. So just if you haven't finished Hawkeye, just kind of be aware of that. He's basically saying that the show never had a true established villain. The show is ultimately about Clint passing the torch to Kate. There's obviously crime fighting that comes in there, but the whole reason for the specifics of the crime fighting wasn't always clear. And kind of episode to episode, a lot of that focus or that reasoning seemed to change. At one point, Kate's mom was being associated with the mob. Another point of conflict was the tracksuits stealing things, which included Laura's watch, and then Maya wanting to kill Ronan. And, you know, so it's like there were multiple threads and multiple storylines in this. And really what was only a six episode, I don't know, 4.5 hour, 4.75 hour series, which, by the way, last night, my wife said she liked it so much. She said, let's rewatch it right now, end to end. And so we did. We just rewatched all of Hawkeye last night. I was exceptionally pleased. He also cites all the other shows. So Loki, WandaVision, Falcon, Winter Soldier, What If, were the ultimate villains that really aren't revealed until toward the end of the season. You know, WandaVision, we didn't know it was Agatha until the second to the last episode or something. Yep. The Falcon Winter Soldier, you know, we didn't have a reveal until the end. What If, we didn't have, you know, that reveal of the Ultron thing and all that until the real end. Loki, obviously, with Kang. And so that he's basically, the author here is saying that the real villains aren't given a lot of time to develop. So I have my thoughts on this. I thought about this a lot, especially in my consideration for, hey, let's just make this a discussion topic on the show. But I want to give you guys a chance to talk about this first. I mean, does he make valid points here? Do you agree with him? Do you disagree with him? What's your position? And I'm going to switch this up intentionally right now. Darn it. John, you are going to go first.
Yes.
Yes. What?
Yes. They have a villain problem.
Okay.
Because they don't reuse villains nearly enough. And we've said this before in the comics.
Thanos was perpetual. He had 10 years, man.
Nah, 10 years, but close. They had one big bad. But when you go to the comics, you know, you have villains who they get arrested and they go to jail. And I mean, at least in Spider-Man, they had Vulture get arrested and put in jail. So, you know, he could be used again. And we see him in the trailers for Morbius. I long said you don't have to have them show up in the next movie or even in that phase, but there are things that you can do to a villain to keep them around. I long said all you need at the end of Age of Ultron is for one head to just like an eye light up, and you know Ultron's still out there. Now, there are exceptions to this. You know, we had Zemo come back and play a phenomenal carry-on. So they are getting better at it. Spoiler from Hawkeye, I don't think Kingpin's dead.
No, absolutely, there's no way.
Steve and I talked about it. So
there's no way.
It was an off-screen occurrence. No way is he dead. No. That would be so insanely wasteful.
Yeah.
So they are getting better at it. But, you know, in general, they need to do a little bit more with it. And again, I think as they're figuring it out, they are getting there. I think we're going to see a lot of Kang. We're going to see Kang move throughout. I think we're going to start to see Kingpin move throughout. And Tim, I think you were the one that long ago said, you know, kind of had that breakdown between like street heroes, Avenger level kind of like issues and like space issues.
Yeah.
And like villains to trans, you know, pose, and maybe there's occasional crossovers, maybe there's not. But also to the author's point, you know, in that, minus like DC, they had the Joker movie, and granted, that's weird, sort of, kind of canon, not their multiverse. I haven't actually seen it yet, so I don't know.
Good movie, dark movie, but really good.
Yeah. But I would say, in general, they don't always do a huge amount delving into, you know, the villains. I think we got a little bit into Kang. We got nothing with Kingpin. We got a crap ton with Thanos. We learn more about Zemo. We know nothing about Thal. So, I mean, they're going back and forth. I'd love, you know, a good mini series or something else on, you know, one of the villains to flesh them out. Totally. But the problem is once you flesh some of them out, sometimes you make them sympathetic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. And basically we had Loki. I mean, Loki was another perpetual villain who basically became so popular, they continued to write him. And as they did, he's not a true hero per se, but he's not a straight up villain either.
Nope.
Okay. Sheba, what are your thoughts on this article and the situation that it poses?
So I've heard this similar kind of situation with Disney in general, because back in the day, if you watched old Disney cartoons, it was here's the good character and here's the bad character. And they have to, at some point in the third act, defeat the bad character. And then everything is happy and great. And everything works out. That was always how it was. Now, new Disney movies and shows and things, there is an evil character, but it is always usually like it's something that they aren't really truly evil. It's either, you know, they're overcoming family issues or anxiety or stress from like family or from people that misunderstand them. And it's not really a true villain. And I've heard people say the same kind of thing about it, being like, well, it's, you know, it's not that great. But I would like to argue that it's kind of cool to be able to see all of the different sides of our characters, whether they're quote unquote antagonists or protagonists, because nobody is ever black and white. Like there's nobody that's always, you know, just good or just bad.
Right.
It's just not how people operate. So it's nice to be able to see, you know, whether it's a sympathetic look towards our villains, but seeing that they have reasoning behind them. I do agree with John, though, that they do tend to kill off a lot of their really great villains. Like with Killmonger, for example, one that I'm going to forever say that they killed him off way too soon. Maybe he's alive somewhere. I don't know. In what, like the what if situation, maybe they'll still bring him back. But the thought process or how he thought of viewed the world, rather, wasn't completely wrong. The way he went about it, obviously, was really wrong. But that makes for a great villain because he's not all bad. You can
right.
kind of sympathize with what's going on, but also go, oh, you know, the way you're doing it's not so great. But they killed him off. They've done that with other characters, like John said, with Ultron. They just completely just kill them off instead of like taking them to jail or doing something else with them or putting them somewhere else so that you could use them again. They've just kind of killed them off, which is not fun when you want to see more from those characters. As towards the shows, yeah, we did get the villains near the end, but I liked that build up as well. Like I liked just not knowing, oh, who is the bad guy? Who's the person, like, or the person that is behind all of this. I kind of liked or enjoyed that build up, especially because it was a show. I think when you go into a show, you think of it in a different way. It's a different medium. It's still fantastic, but there's just, you, at least with other shows that I've watched, that happens a lot. It builds up and then they're like, oh, look, season one, here's the villain. And then in season two, they deal with that problem. And then, oh, season two, here's another. That's just how TV works. Mm-hmm. So for me, it wasn't that big of a deal because I'm like, hey, this is just what a TV show is. It's what a show does. It builds up to something, to some threat, and then takes care of it. Like it kind of packages it up until they can deal with it again later. So for me, it wasn't that big of a deal. I do see where there were problems with Hawkeye, where there were a lot of people and you didn't know who the quote unquote bad character was. But again, there are a lot of loose. That's what I was going to say. Yeah. That's the point, to bring it up a little later on, or, you know, they're going to extend into the show, into other shows or other movies. We don't know. So I'm perfectly fine with the way things are going because I know that the shows are also going into the movies. So it's not the end of everything here. It's going to show up somewhere else or they're going to show up somewhere else. So I'm just going to wait to see. And it didn't bother me as much as it might have the author in this article.
Yeah, I agree with a lot of the stuff that you guys said with this, and I really like the multifaceted villains. I also like things to not necessarily be so black and white. I posted this actually in one of our channels on Discord this afternoon when I found it, and so I kind of wrote in this to kind of get some discussion starting there. I think that Marvel's writing should be admired for not doing the simplistic good guy versus bad guy thing.
Okay.
And there's nothing wrong with that. That absolutely has its place. I think that, you know, that's classic conflict. It totally works. There's nothing wrong with that at all. But the source of conflict doesn't always need to be apparent or to be myopic. It can be very elusive. It can be multifaceted. It can build. It can change, just like real life. I mean, on Monday, there's something that frustrates you, and on Tuesday, there's something completely different. Monday's issue may not have been resolved yet, but it's something that you can put away for a little while until, you know, whatever happens on Tuesday gets resolved. Sure, it's kind of boring and mundane with our own lives, but you basically take those same concepts and you put those into there, into a show, into a movie, and I think it makes it more relatable. You can have multiple points of conflict in a story instead of just person A versus person B. I personally think that it's pretty brilliant. I think that it's exceptionally well done. John, you brought up DC and I agree with the point that both of you guys made, that Marvel definitely, it's a slightly different issue than this, but it is related, that, you know, Marvel does have an issue of doing away with their villains, kind of prematurely. You know, DC, whether or not they do it in the movies, sometimes they do, sometimes they don't. But in the comics, they have Arkham. Arkham is this great responsibility or great, great facility for all of your defeated villains to go. It's a great thing. In Marvel, we have the Raft. Why isn't it being used? Tremendously underutilized. The biggest exposure of the Raft was to lock up a bunch of heroes at the end of Civil War.
They brought it up in Falcon and Winter Soldier. So they're continuing to use it. It's there. But yeah, you're right. I mean, it's something that, I mean, they need their Supermax prison.
Yeah.
To put people in.
Yeah. And, you know, we had the reveal from the first Spider-Man movie that there are still some Ultron parts out there. So that's good. The door is open for them to bring Ultron back. Will they? I'm kind of ambivalent about it.
I don't think they need to.
I don't think they necessarily need to either, but I like the potential of that persistence.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, just knowing that, knowing Vulture's out there, and I keep coming back to, you know, to him because he's relevant in reason of, yeah, spoiler alert for folks, because I'm going to jump into Far From Home real quick. Was he missing from Far From Home? Absolutely. Did I forget that he was missing after about 3 minutes? Absolutely.
Right.
But it was like, oh, yeah, he's out there. Where's Vulture? Is he going to join in the fun? No? Okay. I'm okay with that, but he's still out there.
Well, and we know Vulture at least – as far as what we think we know, he's still in prison.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the only kind of close association was apparently on one of the magazine stands, Liz, the girl he liked in in Homecoming, the daughter of Vulture. Mm-hmm. They had done an interview, like her face is on one of the magazines and she does an interview. And the only reason I know that is because I watched a What Things You Missed video.
Sure.
Otherwise I missed it twice. But yeah, apparently she was there, like they had done an interview with her being like, oh, you know, Peter Parker's a liar and that kind of like they said something like that. That was the only association we had with Vulture being around, and it wasn't even Vulture.
Yeah. I'll say most specifically to the point of this article that we're talking about. While I agree with the points that he's making, I don't agree with his conclusion. You know, his conclusion is there's too much and it's fundamentally not simplistic enough and there needs to be a good guy versus a bad guy.
No, definitely no.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like the build. I like the mystery. I like this, you know, who is, I love the red herring of Jack in Hawkeye.
Yeah.
You know, and Jack is still a shady AF.
Oh yeah, but, definitely.
You know, you also realize he's kind of an idiot and there's no friggin' way that he could, you know, that he could be organizing crime. But, you know, there was some potential there and that's the road that they led us down. And I love those misleads. I love that kind of stuff. This was really good.
Even in Hawkeye, just looking through, you know, what kind of he breaks down. Again, yes, there were, but they developed each of those. And now we have, and this is where I think they're getting better and they did good. Hawkeye season 2, the Tracksuit Mafia can show up or not. Mm-hmm. I don't care either which way. Again, just have a movie company. Sheba, help me out.
Trust a bro.
You know, truck drive by Kate. Enough of an Easter egg that they're still around. There.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
You know, we know. You know, Jack's still around. I'm sure we'll delve into Eleanor's relationship with Val. In Echo, we're going to get at least Kingpin back, if not, you know, Kazi, because, yeah, I mean, it looks like he died, but do we really know he died?
And I really liked Kazi. I thought Kazi was a great character.
Yeah. I mean,
I thoroughly enjoyed him in Hawkeye. I loved Kazi.
Yeah. I mean, so they're doing the examples he gives here and then going into Loki and WandaVision and Falcon and Winter Soldier. So I might actually be talking myself out of my theory here, folks. I do this actually professionally on a daily basis. I'm a great devil's advocate for myself.
Which has its benefits.
Exactly.
All of these were to a degree origin stories. Mm-hmm. And so it's fine that, you know, they weren't revealed till the end or built up towards there because they're going to continue on.
Exactly.
And Tim, you brought up Jack. I think we all thought from the beginning, this guy, he's the quintessential, what, you know, Mr. Scribner seems to want. He read quintessential bad guy, basic. He was swarmy, used car salesman-y, sketchy past. We all thought he was the villain.
Yep.
And as we're watching the finale, you know, my son turns to me when he goes out and say, wait, he's a hero now? And I'm like, I guess. And he's like, huh, didn't see that coming.
I didn't either. I was like, okay, I guess, sure. Let's roll with it.
Yeah. Even then, you had what was, and everyone assumed to be, you know, this black and white, you know, kind of aspect to it, where there was some humor and some depth to it. The Tracksuit Mafia, black and white, but as Sheva and I talked about, you know, the bro stopping in the middle of the fight to thank Kate for the dating advice.
Yeah.
Adds depth and everything else. And I think that's what's required. And yes, you can have, obviously, if you have, I'm trying to think of like villains they haven't used yet. If you have a Galactus show up, you're like, obviously bad guy. Apocalypse, probably pretty obvious bad guy, but forget how they used him in the one X-Men movie. you know, but then they have plenty of others where it crosses the line where you're like, well, I mean, Magneto is a great example. Where, you know, flitting, you know, back and forth. I think with Kang, going to be pretty, you know, evil, but, you know, in phase, phase we'll wrap up Kang with. So in phase 27, are we going to see mugs that say Kang was right?
Right. And for as much, I love the complex characters, the nuanced characters, the villains who are altruistic, you know.
Yeah.
Thanos was altruistic. Thanos was trying to save the universe from itself, fundamentally. You know, means and methods were not so desirable, but. You know, his goal wasn't necessarily evil. That said, I'm also good with once in a while, give us a straight up evil villain.
I
like that, but not every, the thing is not everyone is, you know, one side of a coin.
There aren't a lot of Darth, Darth Vaders in the world.
No, no, they're really Vader, aren't.
And even Darth Vader was technically when you like, when you look into him more, there was reasoning behind why he became so evil at one point. So every evil character, even every villainous person in the world even has another side to them. There's always a reasoning of where, how they got to where they were. It's not like they just woke up one day. We're like, I'm evil. That's what I'm going to do. It's a build. It happens something, whether it's in their past or as an adult, something happens. And then they become, they have, their way of thinking is distorted.
And I will just kind of maybe final thought on this. When he talks about real villains give time to develop, it actually then thinking back through some of the villains, at least, and I haven't gone back and watched them in a long time, folks, so I don't know if it was season one or through all of the seasons. The Netflix Daredevil show was just as much Matt developing into Daredevil as Wilson Fisk developing into Kingpin.
100%. They spent a lot of time on Wilson Fisk. A lot of time on him. Which was fantastic. I love to see that development of an antagonist.
Seeing more of that. And I think we'll see, maybe it's going to be through Loki, maybe it'll be through Ant-Man and the Wasp. I think we'll see more of that with Kang. You know, and maybe we'll see that more with Agatha as she pops up throughout shows and stuff. And looking at Falcon and Winter Soldier, U.S. agent, I guess, who we can throw in the villain category, he's murderer and all. So, you know, they showed, you know, kind of his development and how he got there, as well. And it's, and I guess it's his quote, real villains like this. I mean, does he want a Joker-esque? Does he like? What does he want as a, you know?
Yeah, as a true villain, like what?
Yeah, I mean,
idea.
You know, and there on a podcast recently, Tom Welling was on, and it kind of got to actually a similar kind of conversation topic as this, but he brought it to Westerns. And he's like, just look at like the last Magnificent Seven. It was somewhat watered down of, and basically more all the good guys having to look good and, you know, no true kind of like, you know, kind of bad guy to go after. And he's like, when you compare that to the original Magnificent Seven, and then you compare that to the Samurai film, and how much of that has changed. So, but I mean, there are aspects of how we view villains that have just shifted. over time. Yeah. I mean, for Christ's sake, you just said it was dark. They made the Joker seemingly a sympathetic character in the Joaquin Phoenix.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean,
Joker's
sympathetic.
And I love that. I love that complexity in characters. And like I said, not every villain also even needs to have that. Some can be just straight up mean and evil, and that's fine. I mean, they did that with Carnage. You know, yes, he still had his motivations, but his motivations weren't altruistic. There was nothing altruistic about Carnage. You know, so I appreciate a lot of those different aspects. So I don't know, I like how they told the story. I agree. I would like to see some content that is actually more focused on villains. I mean, we got the Loki series, but again, Loki really isn't that pure villain anymore, that he was when we first saw him. You know, what else are we going to get? We are going to get an Agatha Harkness series, which I think is fantastic. Again, give us something that is villain centric that really fleshes out that villain. I want to learn more about Agatha. I was, you know, really enthralled with the character. A lot of that was fueled by the actress. I think that the character has an awful lot of potential. And I'm hoping that we're going to get more of them. I'm hoping that this is maybe backstory or something that then is going to, you know, we're then also going to see something in the future, because they obviously set up, I think, a lot of potential for the character in the future. So yeah, tell me more. They spend so much time telling us the stories of heroes largely facilitated by conflict, villains or otherwise, some kind of antagonist. I want to see the other way around, to give us the stories of villains facilitated by their antagonists.
So,
and their antagonists may be heroes. Antagonists can actually be heroes. That's true. It's simply whoever is opposed to your central figure, and your central figure doesn't have to be a hero.
So folks, I said, I'm really good at being devil's advocate. And so I will say, for a bit of an echo chamber, I think, and just knowing us, we all kind of come at it from the same sense. But there are, I think there are some people that do want still that classic, you know, black and white. And a cousin of mine talked about going to see Spider-Man. And, you know, something she put on social media, I kind of felt was a bit of a jab at me, but not like direct or mean-spirited, because she saw it and she was like, hey, Hollywood, I'm tired of seeing movies, you know, that, you know, where I come out feeling more depressed, you know, than when I went in. And so I messaged her and I was like, but it was so good. And she's like, yeah, but it was, she wanted entertainment. She wanted to come out feeling good. She wanted that classic good triumphed over evil.
But you also can't tell the same story over and over again.
Yeah,
exactly. It gets boring after a while.
But some people want that. Some people want that escape.
True.
And they want the classic.
Yeah.
It's simple. It's good versus evil. They were entertained. Everything got wrapped up neatly in a bow, you know, at the end. So there are some people, you know, that want that. And some of that is cinema changes. Some of that is times change. Explaining to our son this morning or this afternoon that no, Jesus was not a white man. he's like, no, I Googled pictures, and we're like, nope.
Sometimes Google lies.
That's what I was gonna say. Google's not always right.
Yeah. So meanwhile, he's upstairs, hopefully he's got his AirPods on the number of times I've brought him up tonight. but I mean, there are some people that do want, you know, they want Rocky IV. They want good guy versus bad guy. Good guy wins, actually gets the bad guy's country to like cheer him. There are folks that still want that. And there's aspects of that that's good too. I know us, we like the complexities. We don't need the good guys to win every time. we don't need everything wrapped up neatly in a bow, and we don't need to, you know, walk out of a movie theater every time high-fiving and feeling good about, you know, what happened. And I still say, yes, Spider-Man was depressing. It didn't have a happy ending, and I loved it for that, because that's life.
Peter lost everything. Everything. Mm-hmm. Like, there's nothing that he still had except his actual physical life. His life in the broadest sense was gone. Yeah. Gone.
Okay. Hey, spoiler alert for folks, and I forgot to bring this up, but Tim, you just made me think about it. He lost everything. Everyone forgot who he was.
Yeah.
How did he have a box of stuff, including the first things he puts down are framed pictures that we never see? If no one knows who he was, how did he have framed pictures?
This is true. There are some nuances to consider.
Movie magic.
Yeah. All right. So we do need to wrap this discussion up. I think obviously there's a lot of things to consider. Some of the stuff we've mentioned before in terms of just our desire to have villains come back, not just be one shot wonders. We've talked about complexity of villains, that kind of stuff. I think this article was great to give us some certain perspective on villains and how stories are told. Again, I don't completely disagree with the premise of the article. I think a lot of the points that the author brought up were real valid. I think we kind of all agreed with that. But the conclusion that he went to, I think that we all, you know, challenged a bit, or at least we have different perspectives on. So, folks, that is going to do it for this episode of Guardians of the MCU. Happy New Year to all of you. And we will catch you next week with two more episodes. Enjoy. Take care.